Blog Talk Radio.
A pleasant good evening to you. Once again, you're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, M.D. Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we are here live on Blog Talk Radio, ready to share the Word of God with you, knowing that God's Word is what's going to give us power to overcome the enemy. And in everything that we do, we must continue to study the Word of God so that we may be able to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed to rightly divide the Word of truth. It is so important for the believers of God to lay hold and take hold of the Word of God and get in the presence of God so that we may clearly be able to understand what He would have us to know. God wants to put us He wants to put in our ears His instructions so that we may be able to follow what He has for us to accomplish. God has given you an assignment. Your assignment must be accomplished in the lifetime that He has given to you. The more and more we come into relationship with Him, the more we're going to realize what our assignment is, and it's going to propel us and push us in the direction that God is leading. So I want to encourage you to continue to study the Word of God. It is the Word of God that you and I as believers can stand upon, that particular Word, because God is moved by His Word. When we stand upon the Word by faith and we trust in God's Word, God can do some things on our behalf. Tonight we're going to explore the subject for tonight is moving in the moment of favor. Our subject again tonight is moving in the moment of favor. How important it is to have favor, but it's more important to move when the moment of favor arrives. So tonight we're going to look at what the Word of God has to say to us in regards to moving in the moment of favor. Let's go to God in prayer as we open up His Word. Father, we thank You for such a great opportunity, a time to come together as believers and those of you who perhaps are coming into this thing and you just want a deeper relationship or you just want to hear a word from God, I encourage you to come Monday nights and Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. We are here, and of course, if you don't hear us, you can always go to the archives and pull out a word that's in the archives. But Father, I pray to You that tonight that Your Holy Spirit will come and teach us tonight, give us instructions, give us wisdom, give us an understanding of Your Word, pour out Your Spirit in such a strong manner that even those who are sick among us, they would be healed, that You would bless them, that You would bless their going out and their coming in. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit will settle upon our hearts and that we would be so encouraged by Your Word that it would cause our spirits to leap up in excitement and in joy so that we may also know that, Lord, that You inhabit the praises of Your people. So I pray that You would allow your praise to come into our spirit so much so that we would be able to rejoice and be glad in our worship with You. Bless us and keep us is our prayer in the name of Jesus, and we all ask it, amen and amen. Again, thank you, my friends, for joining tonight. Again, we're talking on the subject, moving in the moment of favor, moving in the moment of favor. I want you to turn with me to the book of Job, the 10th chapter of the book of Job, and we have a particular text that we want to share with you. Again, Job chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse number 12 of Job chapter 10. In Job chapter 10 and verse number 12, Job says, "Thou hast granted me life and favor and thy visitation had preserved my spirit. This is such a powerful text of scripture because it speaks of quite a few things in this text. It says, thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation had preserved my spirit. When the favor of God is upon your life, you can rest assured that you're going to experience life in your life, you're going to experience favor, and you're going to experience a visitation that is going to cause your spirit to feel secure. As you are preserved in Him, you are going to feel the security of God as you come into favor with God. You are going to experience this attitude that God is so close in proximity to you that you feel the care of God. You feel the visitation and the presence of God, and your spirit is preserved. In spite of whatever it is that you may be going through, you're going to need to maintain a relationship that is so knitted with God that your attitude is not to be so mindful of my circumstance or my situation, but to keep my eyeballs focused upon the one who can bring me through whatever I'm going through. And so he says, he's granted to me life, and I want you to understand that he that hath the Son had life, and he that hath not the Son had not life. And so there is this conviction, and there's this conversion, there is this conformity to the will and the purpose of God that's so strong upon the one who is preserved in spirit, who operates in the favor of God. He'll understand that the breath of God is breathing life into him, and this life and this spirit, this breath of God is synonymous with the thought pattern that God is saying that, look, I breathe upon you the breath of life, but moreover, I preserve you by my spirit. God has blew into your nostrils the breath of life, yet even the life that you have is not complete without the Spirit. You can be alive and living without having the Spirit. You can have breath in your nostrils, you can breathe daily and on all of those things, but that you want to have is a visitation of God that preserves your spirit. God wants to visit you and take time with you and lead you and guide you and instruct you and give you power from on high. This thing that God is granting to you is full of life. It's full of favor. You will come into favor as you come into the Word of God. You are essentially coming into Christ because Christ is the Word. The more you study the Word, the more you're studying about Christ. And Christ is the one who is going to preserve us. He is the one that's going to lead us and guide us through the manifestation of His Spirit that's dwelling in us. God wants to bring us up to another level. And so the foundation of this favor that God wants to extend to us is so powerful that you and I must obtain this favor. We've got to get to a place where we come into such a deep relationship with God that nothing else matters to us but doing the will of God. In Luke chapter 2, and looking at verse number 52, Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, when Jesus was 12 years old, and he was in the temple with the with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the doctors and all of that, and he was proclaiming the word of God, and his parents had lost track of him. And there was a 3 days journey before they were able to catch up with Jesus, but they found him in the temple. And I want you to understand that oftentimes we lose sight of Jesus. And because we lose sight of Jesus, sometimes it will take us a 3-day journey before we can catch back up with him. So many times people have started off with Christ. They have started off holding fast the profession of their faith, and they got sidetracked or distracted by something that led them from taking their eyes off of Jesus. But you can rest assured that Jesus is not lost. Perhaps it's because you have become distracted with life that you have lost sight of him. But he's not lost. You will always find him in the temple. And so Jesus was in the temple. So they went back to the temple, and there was Jesus in the temple. God wants to dwell in you, in your temple. He says, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of God. So God wants to dwell in your temple. And so he's not just wanting to dwell in the church, but he wants to dwell in you who make up the church. And so they found Jesus, and Jesus said to them in verse 49, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus was on a mission. He was commissioned by God to come here, and so his mission was to seek to save that which is lost. And so in verse 50, they say, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And then verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The question is do you and I measure up to the fullness of the stature of Christ? Christ is pouring out favor upon our life. He's giving us opportunity to make him our King and our Lord. He's giving us chance after chance to make him the center of our life. And so oftentimes, he is not the center of our life. We've got so much other stuff that is a barrage of things that are standing in the way of our blessing. And so Jesus was one who increased in wisdom. And you're going to increase in wisdom as you study the Word of God. You're going to increase in stature. In other words, you're going to grow up in maturity in Christ. And this maturity is going to bring you the favor of God, and it's also going to bring you into favor with men. Do you know that God has said that there is good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall man give unto your bosom? God will line up people to come to bless you. In fact, I was at a restaurant with my wife and blessed us by paying for our meal. And it was interesting that they did it anonymously, and they paid for the meal and left the restaurant, and we wasn't even able to thank them. But these are the types of things that God will allow you to come into favor with him and also with man. God is putting us in position to be blessed. And so you want to continue to move in the moment of favor. There are so many people who have missed the opportunity of favor because they delayed, stagnated, they were slothful when it was time to move, or they were complaining so much about their circumstances and their situation that they couldn't even see the moment of favor being in their presence about to bless them. Some people talk themselves out of the favor of God. Some people have moved away so far from from looking at the Lord that they began to look so hard at their situation till they lose the favor that was available to them. You've got to learn how to move in the moment of favor. You must learn how to move in the moment of favor. Favor will cause you to leapfrog over thousands of people who were in line to receive that thing that you were blessed and favored to receive. That position that you weren't quite really qualified for, but God moved on your behalf, and it was in the moment of favor that He positioned you so that you were able to move on. Daniel was a man who found favor with God. He was positioned to be blessed. King Nebuchadnezzar had an issue, had a problem. He had a dream that he could not remember, and so that Daniel and his companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went before God, and they prayed and asked God to give them the dream and the interpretation of the dream, because this was the request that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And I want you to know that when you go into the presence of God and you are interceding on behalf of someone else, know that the favor of God is going to show up. When you move in the moment of favor, then favor is going to favor you when you come into your situation. And so God gave Daniel the dream and the interpretation thereof, and so Daniel went before the king and said, "Oh, king, live forever." Could not the astrologers and the soothsayers and all of those people that you relied upon, were they not able to tell you the dream or the interpretation? But I want you to know that there is a God who revealeth secrets, and He has revealed to me what the king has dreamed and the interpretation thereof. This is favor in operation. Favor was about to promote Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to being on the highest part of the council of the king. These men were going to move from their position of where they were into the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar. They were going to move into the direction of being a part of the kingdom. That's how the favor of God works. Joseph was another a Bible character that went from the prison to Potiphar's house. And I want you to understand that it's the favor of God that causes these things to occur. And you've got to be able to move in the moment of favor. In John chapter 5, there is such a case that I want you to see that you must understand how important it is to move in the moment. And in John chapter 5, and starting at verse 1, Jesus had with the woman at the well, and then it goes on and say in verse 1, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water." They were waiting for the moving of the water. So oftentimes we are in a waiting position. We are in a waiting mindset, trying to receive something that will cause us to be in a better situation. Sometimes we are feeling ill-favored, or that we don't like the circumstance or the situation that we're in, and sometimes we're so busy talking about the situation, and we noticed the moving of the waters. And the thought was that in verse 4, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. This man had been sitting by the pool for 38 years. what a long time to be sitting in your situation waiting on something to take place and something to happen. I like this man because he didn't give up hope. Even though he was in a position of not liking the circumstances, he never, ever gave up hope. He kept on coming to the pool. He kept on seeking for the blessing. He kept on waiting for the opportunity that perhaps maybe one day will be my chance to get in the water when it's moving, and I'll come out as a whole man. And verse 6 says, "And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" I want you to understand that God understands your circumstances. He understands how long you've been in your situation, because it says, "And when Jesus saw him lie," and he says, "and he knew that he had been now a long time in that case." Jesus, perhaps even as a little boy, probably saw this man sitting by the pool of Bethesda. Jesus perhaps knew him in his situation. He knew and understood his full case. And I want you to understand that God understands your case. I don't care what it is that you're going through, God understands your case. And now it's time for the man to be able to move in the moment of favor, because favor is about to take place in his life. The Lord asked him the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" This is your moment. This is your time. This is your time to be blessed. This is your time to experience the favor of God for your life. And then it says, "The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Here he began to rehearse the situation of the circumstances, and Jesus had already knew his case. Jesus wanted him to turn his eyes and his direction to the moment of favor that was about to occur in his life. Will you be made whole? Do you have time to hear the voice of the Lord asking you, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to enter into the very favor of God? God is saying, don't be rehearsing the problem anymore with me. I understand your case. You don't even know who you are addressing now. He says, he calls Jesus, Sir. Oh, my friends, how oftentimes we are so close to favor, but we don't even recognize favor. We see this favor as a sir. We see this person, and we address Jesus in the sense of sir. He said, "The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth before me." You might seem in your lifetime that there are people who have always been stepping in front of you. Every time you seem like you were about to latch hold of the blessing, somebody else stepped in front of you. The favor went to somebody else. Somebody else got your blessing. You maybe have felt for 38 long years you have been going through this in your life, and now God has brought you to the moment where you are about to meet favor, and you're talking about the situation. And Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, walk." There are three things that Jesus tells him. Sometimes you got to rise up out of your situation, and you got to take the thing that you were lying down upon, take up your bed, and he says, and now you got to walk. You got to walk in the favor of God. You got to experience the power and the anointing of God upon your life now. He says, I want you to rise. I want you to rise. It's time for all of the people of God who have been in your situation for a long time. You have missed out upon the favor of God. You have missed your moment when favor was there. And it's time for you to come to the place where you will say to God, God, I accept wholeness. I accept your favor for my life, and I'm going to move in the moment. I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to take up my bed. I'm going to take up the situation that I've been lying down upon for all of this time. And while favor was passing me over, I'm going to rise up to the moment of favor. And then I'm going to take up my situation, and I'm going to carry the thing that I was lying down upon. I'm going to walk in the favor of God. And I tell you, it says, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked on the same day. It was the Sabbath. And so he got a blessing on the Sabbath. Sabbath day was a day of rest. And Jesus said that, you know what? Is it not lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Jesus was telling them, look, you have encumbered the Sabbath day with all of your traditions and your man-made doctrines and all of that. He said, and I came to set the captives free. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Christ had a one mind, one track mission, and he was always about seeking to save that which was lost. And he wants us to be whole. The favor of God will cause you to enter into a place of wholeness. Oftentimes, we're incomplete because we have not been made completely whole by the favor of God. God wants to extend his favor so strongly upon our lives that we're able to come out of our situation and knowing that it is our time, it is our moment, it is our moment of favor. God wants to bring you into favor. Over in Job chapter 7, Job the 7th chapter, it is so much in this chapter, and I would really like to read the entire chapter. It's so good, but I'm gonna ask you if that would be your assignment, that you would read the entire chapter of chapter 7 of the book of Job. But I'm gonna try to share a few words with you from the book of Job, chapter 7. Look at verse 1. It says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of the hireling? As a servant earnestly desired the shadow, and as a hireling looking for the reward of his work." So here Job is saying that there is an appointed time for men on the earth. You are living in the moment of time that God has so designated. You came here on the scene of time. In this moment of your life, God has called you to your appointed time. You did not come in the 1700s or the 1600s or the 1500s. You came in to the 1900s. And so as a result of coming into the 1900s, you are coming on the scene in your appointed time, your appointed moment. God called you to be in this place, this particular day, this particular moment in your life. And it's for the purpose of blessing you and blessing others. If you skip on down to 17, Job says, "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thy heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment?" There are some things that are going on in your life that is doing nothing more than trying your character. It is the thing that is curing you from the disease and the sickness of sin that we have. Oftentimes, circumstances and situations will cause us to run to Jesus, run to God, run to our Father, and say, "Father, I need your help. I need your power. I need you to come and see about me." And I want you to know that God will come and see about you. And Job says that I don't understand, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him? And he goes on in that verse 18, it says, "And that thou shouldest visit him every morning." you might not be able to see the hand of God upon your life, but God will pay you a visitation every morning. Every morning that you wake and rise, he says, that Job says he visits every morning and tries him every moment. Every moment of your life, God is trying to move you into the direction of his plan for your life. Your purpose is truly only identifiable in Christ. If you're trying to enter into your purpose without understanding who is the purpose maker, God is the one who puts the purpose of your life in perspective, so that when you run into the purpose and plan of God, you are absolutely entering into the moment of favor. God is now going to give you direction for your life, so much so that you are going to understand your assignment more clearly as you come closer to this moment where you experience the visitation of God on an everyday basis. Every morning that you wake and rise, you ought to experience the visitation of God. Our opening text says that he wants to visit us and preserve us. Over in Job chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." And so over here in this verse, he says, "And that thou shouldest visit him every morning." And in verse 19, it says, "How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle?" This is Job chapter 7, verse 19. And then in verse 20, he says, "I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? O thou preserver of men, why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden, to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be." So here Job is like, man, if I have to continue going through this, just let me die, Lord. I'd rather just go ahead and die and just go on and put me in the dust, and then I'll see you in the morning. Well, I want you to understand that God wants us to understand that there are some things that sometimes that God allows us to go through that's not really for us. It really is for those that are around us. When people began to see you go through what you have gone through and you come out on the other side victoriously, then you become a testimony of the test that you have experienced in your life. God wants to bring you into great favor so that as men look upon your life, they will understand that the favor of God is upon you, and that in spite of that situation, that circumstances, you have learned in your character that no matter what happens to me, Job could say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though I lost everything, and it appears that I'm naked, that I don't have nothing," Job was constantly determined to know that, guess what? Naked I came into the world, and naked I'm going to leave. But Job constantly held on to his integrity in God. God wants us to operate in this moment of favor, even when the circumstances don't look like what you're going through. It doesn't offer you, if you will, an out. But the moving of favor in this moment will allow you to experience things in your life that you have never ever dreamed that you would ever come to. Over in Luke chapter 4, Jesus had just come out of his 40-day fast, and he met Satan, and Satan had tried to get him to make turn stones into bread. And then I like this verse number 5, Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, "And the devil, taking him up unto a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." This is where you and I are. We are in the moment of time. Time is upon us. We are dealing in the moment of time. Whatever you're going through, you are in the moment of time. Time will one day be no longer. And the only thing that lies between time and eternity is a decimal point. We are about to move out of time and go into eternity. So everything that you do down here is going to determine where you go in the eternal. You are living in the moment of time. And so here the devil shows Jesus in a moment of time all of the kingdoms of the world. And this is what he offers to every one of us. If he offers this thing to Jesus, do you know that he will offer it to you? And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will, I give it." So the devil said, "Look, this thing is I got this thing on lock. And if you want to experience having all of this stuff, I can give you and grant you the power to have it. All you have to do is simply do this. And that is to just bow down. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine," is what the devil says. "I just want you to worship me. If you will worship me, you can have all of this stuff." And this is where oftentimes many people are making the choice. "I'd rather have silver and gold than Jesus. I'd rather have a job than to have Jesus. I'd rather have everything else this world has to offer than Jesus." But there are those who will enter into the favor of God with a heart that is different, who will say, "You can have this world's treasure, but just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, because if I've got Jesus, I've got favor. I've got favor with God, and I've got favor with man. I'd rather have Jesus," the songwriter Kirk Franklin says, "than silver and gold." I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and in him and him only shalt thou serve." This is where the true promise of God is that when we enter into a relationship with God and we find ourselves worshiping in the presence of God and worshiping him all the day long, we can expect that God will show up in our life in a moment of favor. He will present it to you, and he will give it to you in such a way that nobody can even be able to take it away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to go down to verse 17. Paul says something very powerful in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, work it for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Do you know that whatever you are being afflicted by, that particular thing is working for you? I want you to look at this text again. It says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment," look at what it says. It says, "it work it for us." your affliction is working for you. Whatever you're going through, it's working for you. It's working for you. It may not appear that anything that is going on in your life is happening on track. It may seem that you are so, it is such a despair and despondent, and you are so far away from God, but God says that I'm very near you. I come and visit you every morning. I know exactly what your case is all about. I've seen what your circumstances, your situation is, and if you would just turn your eyes on me and look full into my wonderful face, all the things of this earth will go strangely dim at the light of my glory and grace. God said that favor with me, and I will favor you. I will grant to you life and favor. And not only that, I'm going to visit you with my spirit, and it's going to preserve your life. So it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, work it for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So whatever you're going through, when you began to look at this thing, it's working for you. And when you began to base this thing on the measurement of weight, when you compare whatever it is that you're going through to the eternal weight and glory, there is no comparison to the outcome. When you compare whatever it is that is working on for your good, because you have been called according to the purpose of God, because this thing is so a part of your life, God says, and look, I want you to understand the affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for you. It's working for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This thing is going to be for your good. And 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You cannot see God, but he is eternal in his glory. He is eternal in his purpose. He is everlasting. Everything that is going on with God has eternal dividends. Pay you eternal weights of glory. It will compare to what you're going through. You will begin to weigh that thing and see that the balance of the scale is in your favor. God is wanting to put the scale in your favor. And so he says, don't be looking at the things that you're seeing. What you're seeing is only temporal. But if you will latch hold on me, you will discover that I have eternal weights of glory. I have eternal purposes. I have eternal plans that are everlasting. These things are going to continue, and they give you hope. They give you encouragement. They help you to understand that you've got to move in the moment of favor. God wants you to move in the moment of favor. The favor of God is upon you. It visits you every morning. And if you could just open up your eyes, you'll probably be able to see that God is closer to you than you ever thought he was. He is understanding your case like the impotent man who was there at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus said, I know your case. I know what you're going through. Over in Ephesians chapter 1 and starting at verse number 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you, the enemy wants to take us off of the air right now, but I want you to know that we are back on the air and we're still back on point. We're still going to move in the favor of God, and we're going to allow God to finish this message. He says, having predestinated us in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1, also us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. God is operating on our behalf. He has determined, he has predestinated, he has put forth a plan for our life. And he said to you and me that, look, if you walk in this predetermined path that I set for your feet to walk in, if you will do that, you're going to experience the blessings of God, and it's going to be fulfilling the good pleasure of his will. Not only that, it's going to bring in your spirit praise and glory, and you're going to experience the grace of God, and you're going to experience the acceptation of God in your life. God accepts you. He redeems you. In verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. God has purposed in himself that he would save you. He had purposed within himself that you and I will come to a place where we will move in the favor of God. We will move in the moment of favor because God is extending his grace, his blood to cover our sins, to wash us thoroughly, so that we might be clean and that we might be filled with his spirit. He wants to preserve us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to instruct us in all knowledge and all wisdom. I want you to go over to the book of Deuteronomy. And this is perhaps one of the greatest demonstrations of moving in the moment of favor. If you will go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, this is why it's necessary for you and I to move in the moment of favor. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, God had allowed the 10 to 12 spies to go over into the promised land, and he allowed them to go and spend 40 days over there. And in these 40 days, they were to spy out the land and to come back and give a report to the congregation. And when they came back, there were two men, Joshua and Caleb, who gave a good report, but the other 10 spies gave a false report. And they discourage the people by their report. So oftentimes there are people who listen to the majority, and oftentimes the majority is not always right. You better be careful that you pay attention yourself and not miss your moment because you've been listening to the crowd. If you are listening to the crowd, you better be careful because you may miss your moment of favor because you're so distracted by listening to the majority. And that minority who is entering into the favor of God, who understands that they have the ability to move in the power of the word that God has spoken. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse 26 it says, notwithstanding, ye will not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he had brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. And whether shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and the walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. And then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. So God says that, look, I've already given you an example of what I can do on your behalf. You've already gone through a great deliverance out of the hand of the Egyptians, and now you are afraid of these people? Do you know that the same God that delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians is able to deliver you out of the hand of these Amorites, or these people here in this city? Do you understand that? But they murmured and they complained. And verse 32 says, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night to show you by what way you should go, in a cloud by day. So God gave, look, you have the very presence of God, Moses says, in your midst. He was a pillar of fire. Pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He protected you from the scorching heat, if you will, of the desert by putting a cloud over you. And at night when it got really cold in the desert, he provided heat for you by being a pillar of fire at night for you. And so the people said in verse 34, and the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to him to give unto them, to your fathers. Said Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he had trodden upon, and to his children, because he had wholly followed the Lord. See, God doesn't want us to, he don't want us to partially follow him. He wants us to wholly follow him. Because when you wholly follow the Lord, you are absolutely moving in the moment of favor. And then he goes on and says, also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shall not go in hither. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encouraged him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And he said, moreover, your little ones, which ye have, should be a prey, and your children, which is in that day, had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn ye and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. These people moved in the moment when God told them to move. Then they would have been able to conquer all of the cities around them and enter to the promised land. But so oftentimes we miss the favor of God because we delay. We are disobedient. We are discouraged. We are faithless. We will not stand on the word of God. And so because of this, many times we miss our moment. And they had missed their moment. And so now the next day has come in verse 41 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. It says, then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. And so I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Zaire, even unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days you abode there. So here Moses says, I'm going to recount for you why you miss your moment of favor. Is because of the fact that you had rebelled against the commandment of God. God had given you a commandment to go out and take the city, but you didn't move in the moment of God. If you would have moved then the Spirit of the Lord was upon you. He was among you to take over the city. He was going to fight for you, but because you delayed your choice and your decision to follow the Lord when he told you to follow him and move and you neglected to move when he told you to move, and now you want to move in your own flesh. Now you want to move in a time when God did not command you to move, and now so you're out of the will and out of the favor of God, and now you want to come up and try to do the thing that God had told you to do in the first place, and you miss your moment. Every time that you allow yourself to operate in the time that God is about to bring you favor, you allow the enemy to reposition himself. And so the children of Israel did not move during the time that God called them to move, and so the enemy repositioned himself. And when the enemy repositioned himself, they were no match for him, and God could not be with them because they were not operating now in the faith of God. They were operating in the flesh of men. God cannot bring you favor when you're operating in the flesh. But if you're operating in the Spirit, if you do what Job chapter 10, verse 12, if you understand that God is granting to you life, and he's granting to you favor, he's granting to you life and favor, you'll understand what time it is to move. When you move in the moment of favor, you can expect great things from God. But again, Job chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." God wants to preserve your spirit in the time of your trouble so that he can bring you into your favor. And when you operate in the moment of favor, you can have an expectation from God that he will work and fight on your behalf. Every enemy that is before you will come down. Every stronghold will be destroyed. Every yoke of bondage shall be removed. God has power to take hold of your life and move you in the moment of favor. God wants to move on your behalf. Will you allow him to move on your behalf so that you might experience the favor of God like you've never, ever experienced it before? My friends, I want you to know that you can write me at thebiblecoach@yahoo.com and let me know that you want to allow God to move on your behalf. And I'm going to pray on your behalf that God will cause you to continue to walk in his word so that he may move on your behalf with favor. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for everyone who is listening to this broadcast and that will listen to this broadcast, that you will pour out your favor upon them, that you would move in the moment, and that you would grant to them life, that you would grant to them favor, and that you would visit them and preserve them in their spirit. Have them, O Lord, to hear your voice and listen to you in your appointed destiny, so that when they come to the place, they will give you praise and glory and honor, knowing that it was you who led them all the way. Father, bless them is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you and have a great night. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again on Thursday night, where we'll continue to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God is going to be taught and shared right here on Blog Talk Radio, because God has favored us to be on this broadcast. So God bless you and have a great night. Thank you for tuning in.